T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer. Walking home from our house Christmas Eve. You can say there's no such thing as Santa, but as for me and Grandpa, we believe.
Still my favorite inappropriate holiday tune. Poor Grandma.
Oh,
it's not good when Grandma gets run over by a reindeer. I think that's like 10 years old. Elmo and Patsy sang that, and it's something of a legend. I do like that one. I do like that one.
Yeah, I think this is a perennial favorite. I mean, what's this category? Bad Christmas tunes, I guess? So it's the best of the worst, maybe?
Slightly inappropriate Christmas tunes, holiday tunes, and we want to hear from you. By the way, I'm Paul. He's DJ. Jor taking the day off for Hanukkah and anxious to get the team back together in the afternoons next week. Great to be back with you, DJ. I know you were probably happy that I was doing mornings earlier in the week.
No, I wouldn't say that. I felt sorry for you. That alarm went off pretty early for a few days, huh?
4:20. I don't know how Dave Lee did it for so long. Yeah. It's, wow. I mean, anybody who gets up at that hour, and now with the darkness, it makes it harder. Yeah. I think in the summer when it's kind of bright at 5 a.m., mm-hmm. it makes it easier, but whatever.
So that Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer song, that's been a favorite of ours. And I think with my mother, who's now a grandmother, she kind of loves it and hates it, right? Because it's kind of making fun of grandmothers. And so I'm not sure if she's a fan of that or not. But, Paul, can I play for you the song that's at the top of the charts in the Josephson home right now?
Yes.
Is that okay? Okay.
Yes,
now, keep in mind, the controller of the songs in my house is a 3.5-year-old. And this is the song that she is begging for us to play on our Bluetooth speaker every morning when she gets up. Are you ready?
Yeah,
are you okay?
Go for it. Right, yeah.
We get up in the morning and my 3-year-old says, "Can we play Jingle Farts? We need to play Jingle Farts again." So I knew you'd get a kick out of this.
I'm glad there's no video. I don't want to see how they made that. But wow. Okay. Your daughters are amazing.
You gonna add that one to your playlist at the Douglas household?
Absolutely. Unwrapping the gifts under the tree.
There's no words either. It's just a minute and a half of this. Okay. I think I have to turn it off now. We're going to get kicked off the air.
Well, you can do anything once. I do like that one, too. What else you got?
Well, not to leave our Jewish friends out, but actually Jordana sent this one today. So you have, of course, heard perhaps the most famous Hanukkah song ever, which
the dreidel
is
the dreidel song.
Oh, the dreidel song. Oh, I don't have that one handy. But no, I think it's Adam Sandler. Sadly, it's Adam Sandler's Hanukkah song. And I went to visit Jordana yesterday at her house in St. Louis Park, and I wore my dreidel socks. And I was driving down her street listening to our sister station, Jack FM, and the Hanukkah song came on the radio at that moment yesterday. Isn't that amazing? Okay, so now there's a new 2.0 remix of the Hanukkah song that Jordana sent me this morning.
All we know is victory, 8 nights glistening. Many try to stop us, they don't get a mention here. Like a window, make it clear, you know what today is. Not saying it 8 times, you'll have to replay this.
Oh, man, yes. Sonica. You see all these miracles popping up. Back and forth the way we rock it, cuz all the lights is
that's
something
good.
You gotta love.
That's good.
Yeah, you like that? That's by Neesam Black and Kosha Dills. I do not know who those folks are, but they did a little remix of the famous Adam Sandler Hanukkah song.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, Jorah was on the air yesterday morning with me talking about the origins of Hanukkah with the Maccabees and the lamps staying on miraculously for, 8 days?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's very cool. Well, happy Hanukkah to everybody who celebrates. Merry Christmas to everybody who celebrates. Happy Festivus. For the rest of us, if you celebrate Festivus, if you're a Seinfeld fan. Okay, what else
now,
you got?
Well, okay, so we would love your recommendations,
yes,
too, for the best of the worst, the best bad Christmas songs. Text us at 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. But I have one more to share for you now, Paul, and as an avid snow lover, mm-hmm, this is my song to you.
Okay.
So I'll raise a glass to us out as the kids laugh down the hall. And the weatherman's calling for rain, but I wish it would snow.
Did you catch that? The weatherman's calling for rain, but I wish it would snow.
Yeah,
I think that's Oliver's song. That's Minnesota's song to you today, Paul.
Well, I know the snow lovers are not happy right now, but I'm reminded of last year, early December, green lawns. And then between December 13th and New Year's Eve, we got a foot of snow.
Yes.
We had a very white Christmas last year. So I still think we're going to have a white Christmas. Hanukkah, maybe the tail end of Hanukkah, there could be a little coating Monday morning, maybe an inch or two of powder Tuesday. I don't see any huge storms, but don't give up on winter just yet. I think it would be premature. When we come back, big weekend coming up. You may be looking for things to stream or to watch in the theaters. Tim Lammers has some reviews next.
Once there was a place in the woods where they sent people who didn't fit into the real world.
Welcome, Jacob.
Species identity disorder can be cured so that a person who thinks themselves an animal can resume a happy, healthy, and rewarding life.
I want to do it. It's the best thing for everyone.
You're all gonna end up wonderful human beings.
They say the wolf and the wildcat are natural enemies. But they're wrong.
Species identity disorder. Well, okay, that's a new one. I think I might have that too. Nothing worse than being a wolf trapped in a man's body. That was a clip from the new theatrical release called Wolf, starring George MacKay and Lily Rose Depp. Tim Lammers joins us as he does every Friday afternoon. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Paul. Yeah, species identity disorder. Now, lycanthropy, I've heard of that before.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, you heard it in the monster movies with the Wolfman and all that sort of stuff. But as for, an actual disorder, I would imagine it's true. They got to base it on something, but it's really, really rare. But yes, George MacKay, who played the lead actor in the brilliant movie 1917. Did you catch that one, Paul?
I did.
From a couple of years.
Yeah,
yes. I mean,
good.
It's such a brilliant movie, incredibly tough movie to watch, but George was the lead soldier in that picture.
Mm-hmm.
Very different role for him now in Wolf, though. Growing up, as you heard, Jacob, played by George MacKay, believes he's a wolf trapped in a human's body, you know, behaves like a wolf, howls like a wolf, scavenges outside in the nude. He's certainly aware he has issues, and his parents are aware they have it, he has issues, so they send him off to this treatment program where a psychologist uses really extreme methods to try to program him and other people who think they're birds or a German shepherd or a squirrel, you name it. And then he befriends this woman named Wildcat, played by Lily Rose Depp, who is, of course, Johnny Depp's daughter, and she thinks she's a cat. So he actually has a breakthrough with this person, though. But, it's a very strange movie. It's an art house movie. I just think it has a very limited audience. Really no other big films opening this week, so maybe it'll make a small dent in the box office. I don't know. But it's definitely out there, that's for sure.
You sound a little ambivalent. Like if somebody if somebody is into werewolf movies, they might like it, but otherwise, eh.
I wouldn't even go that far, Paul. I mean, it doesn't go down that route at all. Now, not coincidentally, there was a movie in the 90s called Wolf, starring Jack Nicholson as a werewolf and Michelle Pfeiffer. If you really feel the need to see a werewolf movie, then see that one.
Okay. You know, all right.
It's just hard for an actor to convince me that, you know, they are an animal. And, you know, when McKay does the howling stuff, it borders on silly. Now, this is tough because I don't want to besmirch anybody that might have this disorder, no matter how rare it might be. I think if they would have gone the documentary route, that would have been a lot more fascinating. To see a film about people that really have this would have probably worked a lot better than this. Here, I just couldn't engage at all.
Okay. Well, this next one I am going to see. I've always been fascinated by, you know, the life of Princess Di, and there's a new movie. It's now video on demand. Spencer, starring Kristen Stewart.
Diana, they can't change. You have to change.
You have to be able to do things you hate.
You hate.
There has to be two of you. It's the real one and the one they take pictures of. Diana, for the good of the country.
For the country.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I guess the royals, they call themselves The Firm, I think, in the UK, and it can be an unforgiving place to live and to work. And so much has been written about Princess Di. I do like Kristen Stewart. Does she pull it off? Does she make it work?
See, I'm the opposite. I just, since Twilight, I don't get the fascination with her. She plays these mopey roles really well, these real downtrodden, you know, sullen roles. And I would say that's probably the reason they cast her in this, because this is a very sullen tale. It's the anxiety-ridden days before Princess Diana decides to end her marriage to Prince Charles. She's beset with mental health issues. She has these strange visions. And the royals, she feels suffocated, you know, being in the marriage in the company of these royals, because if you wear the wrong dress to the wrong event, you know, they're not going to let you off the hook. I mean, it's such of a controlling environment that she lives in. So people are saying that Kristen Stewart's an Oscar nominee for this. I can't see that happening at all. I mean, I think it's an overrated performance. And I think, but a bigger problem with it, Paul, is that it's very artsy. It's dull and pretentious. And, you know, I've been suggesting, look, if you love the royals, you might find this fascinating. But if you really want to see a spot-on tale that's riveting, see the last season of The Crown, where Emma Corwin played Princess Diana. Yeah. That was some pretty riveting stuff. Now, again, I've never been fascinated with the royal family. And I can see why after seeing this. I mean, these first world problems, you know, with don't ever buy pearls for me again. You know, she tells Prince Charles, you know, and, you know, wearing the wrong Christmas dress to the Christmas event or whatever. It's like, please, you know, I don't get it. But again, I'm just one of those outsiders who's never found fascination. Now, look, I one part that made me feel bad watching the film, Paul, was the scenes where she was with her young sons. And you think about how horrible that was for those two young boys to lose their mother like that. Because you could really tell, just even as a casual observer way back when she was alive, that she really did love her sons. So I think she got that part right, Kristen Stewart. But apart from that, it's just too morose for me.
She had everything in the world except her privacy, and many people, I mean, certainly movie stars, they complain about that. They can buy anything. I mean, I guess pro sports is the same way. The one thing they crave is privacy, and the paparazzi hounding her and badgering her and stalking her I'm going to see it. I love The Crown. That was so well done. But, hey, I want to pivot. We only have about a minute or two left. Alec Baldwin sat down with George Stephanopoulos from ABC News.
And I didn't watch the interview. Did you watch the interview, Paul?
I saw clips. He said, someone is responsible. I know it's not me. Of course, Alec Baldwin, you know, shot one of the film production gals on the set. And he went on to say, I would never point a gun at anyone and then pull the trigger. Never. So, I mean, he was somewhat defensive. But what are you hearing about the interview?
Well, certainly I've been reading about it. And you know, that to me is a very curious thing to say, that he's not responsible at all. I mean, the gun is in his hand. How could it not be, even if it did go off accidentally? And I'm still confused about how a gun could go off accidentally. So, you know, talking about people that want their privacy, Alec Baldwin, I don't know why he's even showing his face, much less doing interviews. This guy, in a way, to me, craves the sort of attention, but by doing it, to me, he's digging himself a hole, because there's a whole lot of lawsuits coming his way, and he has to be very, very careful about what he says. So I guess I'm just perplexed by the whole thing, and certainly he's not going to earn a lot of sympathy or empathy from anybody by saying he's not responsible at all. I don't get that at all. You can't be pushing the blame. Now, it's tragic what happened to him, and God forbid any of us would be in that sort of situation where somebody died at our own hand. But to say they didn't have anything to do with it, that just seemed really, really strange to me. And again, maybe that's that sort of deniability he wants to put out there when it comes to fighting these lawsuits. Who knows?
Yeah, it's weird. He said he cocked the hammer of the gun, and then let go of the hammer, and the gun went off. He claims he never pulled the trigger, and that's where he said, I would never point a gun at anybody and pull a trigger at them. But still, I agree with everything you said. I mean, if you have a firearm in your hand, you're responsible, you're accountable, and any gun owner will tell you that there are things you do and don't do. So, again, I wasn't there. We're all getting this third hand, but... Whether he can rehabilitate his career is another question.
I think his career is over, because anything he does, anything he says, I mean, he's under the microscope forever for the rest of his life. But I would be curious to know, can you pull back a trigger and let go of, the hammer, and if it accidentally slipped from under your fingers and hit the bullet, is that enough force to fire a bullet? I don't know that. That's curious. I'm curious about that. To see if
it's all going to come out.
A physical way it could happen. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this isn't over. This story is not over.
Yeah. Hey, Tim, have a great weekend. Thank you for these reviews, and wish you and yours the very best. We'll catch you on Tuesday of next week.
Thank you, Paul. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you, Tim. Tim Lammer's streaming reviews brought to you by Bradshaw and Bryant, personal injury attorneys seeking justice for the injured. Find them at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. Hey, when we come back, did you hear Jim Cramer on CNBC? He's the host of Mad Money. He went off on a rant, went off on a tangent, talking about mandating vaccines at a federal level. If you didn't hear this, it's 3 minutes. I want you to hear what he said on the air just a few days ago, and I want your reaction. That's next on CCO.
Sleigh bells ring. Are you listening?
In the Paul Douglas with you. It's Friday, third day of December. Hanging out with DJ, hanging out with you. Jordana is taking a well-deserved day off to celebrate Hanukkah with her her family. Glad you could join us today. I've been thinking, and I don't pretend to have the answer key, how do you stop a pandemic? Well, it'd be great if everybody got vaccinated. That would probably stop it fairly quickly. Here's why I'm asking that question. Because Jim Cramer, who's the host of Mad Money on CNBC, had a bit of a rant earlier this week. He demanded that President Biden impose a nationwide vaccine mandate on every American. at the end of a show. And he proposed, he suggested that the federal government needs to require vaccines, including booster shots, for everyone in America by January 1st, which is not going to happen. But I want you to judge this for yourself, and we'd love to get your feedback. You can either call us, leave a voicemail at 612-208-2399, or you can text us, 651-461-9226. Here's what Jim Cramer had to say.
With the new Omicron variant sweeping the globe, how do we finally put an end to this pandemic? How do we save lives and get business back to normal so everybody can put dinner on the table? Simple. The federal government needs to require vaccines, including booster shots, for everyone in America by, say, January 1st. There are still some things that need to be done at a national level, and this is one of them. But as we brace for another wave of new deaths from a virus that has killed more Americans than World War II or even the Civil War, it's time to admit that our government has lost the ability or the will to make our people do the right thing. Nobody wants to be the bad guy. So we've allowed a pastiche of uncoordinated health organizations to dictate an on-again, off-again series of measures that mostly just leave us baffled and confused. We haven't centralized the issue to the point where the White House actually seems to take responsibility. Let's see, first was the CDC, and then the FDA, then the National Institutes of Health, mostly coordinating policy through talk shows. Then we left vaccination policy to individual companies. Now it's toothless OSHA going back and forth on what's allowed in factories, but nobody with any power is saying the frontline workers need to be vaccinated. It's just plain wrong, and most of us are sick of it, even as a vocal anti-vax minority is always grabbing the mic. This charade must end. The government must require vaccinations, not of this group or that group, not company by company, not cruise ship by airline or governor by governor. The buck stops at the White House. Some of us are old enough to remember when we were told we had to get a needle stuck into our arms because of some disease that was so scary we were afraid to talk about it. The disease was called polio. No one knew how you got it, but you were scared to go to a place where anyone might congregate, a swimming pool, a park. Then we got a vaccine that worked, and President Eisenhower said we would end polio. He pulled it off because he didn't give us any choice. Soon after, as if the needle were too hard, they came up with a sugar cube. They being the scientists at the time, and we lined up and took them too. Mine tasted like maraschino cherries. Yeah, like the Del Monte fruit cocktail my mom served, but only better. Lord knows what happened if you didn't partake. But back then, anyone who refused to get vaccinated would get ratted out immediately because we knew that person could hurt other people. The common wheel was a common wheel. Now we're engaged in a similar struggle with COVID, and Eisenhower would be aghast. We have immunocompromised people who are incubators for every variant to come, walking around lawfully unvaccinated? That's psychotic. We have companies that have tried hard to get people vaccinated and now backing down. We have governors who want to be president by grandstanding on a foolish states' right issue, the right to get sick, get other people sick. So it's time to admit that we have to go to war against COVID. Require vaccination universally. Have the military run it. If you don't want to get vaccinated, you better be ready to prove your conscientious objector status in court. And even then, you need to help in the war effort by staying home until we finally beat this thing. Then you know what would happen? Oh, there would be a new variant in some unvaccinated part of the world. Then someone flies here from there, and some of us will get a flu, and we'll take a pill from Pfizer once it can ramp up its antiviral. And it'll be like influenza. Now, it will kill some, but not many. Maybe 50,000, the average flu deaths for the last decade, not 500,000.
That was Jim Cramer. And, look, I doubt it's going to happen. It would be great if everybody voluntarily got a vaccine, everybody who physically can get a vaccine. Is that going to happen? The one thought that went through my mind, DJ, is that if we were under attack by China or Russia, God forbid, we wouldn't let it up to each state. Hey, Florida, how do you want to respond to China? Hey, Texas. Hey, Minnesota. Right now, it's piecemeal. Everybody has a different idea, different strategies for fighting this thing. The number one responsibility of the federal government is to protect its citizens, to protect us from foreign enemies, whether they be combatants in uniforms or whether it's an invisible virus that's infecting and killing what? We're closing in on 800,000 Americans. And who knows how many more will die. That said, I just don't think in this political climate, with Biden ostensibly wanting to run again, I don't think it's going to happen. What do you make of this? What do you make of what Jim Cramer had to say? Is that insane?
I mean, wow. Look, I'm solidly on the side of we need to get more people vaccinated. I think the reason we are vaccine hesitant as a culture is largely based on decades-old myths about vaccines causing different ailments and people dying from vaccines. And it's tragic because those myths that have perpetuated our culture for decades are now a cause for Americans dying, and that's tragic. However, I still don't think I'm for a universal vaccine mandate, and I don't know a way around it, though, because to me, sure, there can be some natural hesitancy. There can be people like I want to be in a world where somebody can say, I've got this disease and this maybe puts me at a little more risk if I get the vaccine or whatever, and I can make that decision. And I think if we made those decisions as a country based on fact, I think the rate of people unvaccinated would be under 5%. And that would be okay. And we could argue, we could say 3% of those under 5%, well, you're being too cautious and you really should just get it. But it wouldn't matter because we'd be at 95%. And I think it's misinformation that's the reason where we are. So am I willing to go all the way to a government, you know, military executed mandate where everybody gets vaccinated? Man, I guess I at this moment would say no. And I think I would say no because of the backlash, because, you know, what would the people that are against this vaccine do if they felt like they were being rounded up and forced to get a jab in their arm?
Well,
what would that do to divide our country that's already in such a divided state? I don't know.
What changed from Dwight Eisenhower, President Eisenhower, a Republican, oversaw the vaccinations for polio? People dreaded polio in the early and mid-50s the way many of us now are dreading COVID-19. And he threatened a nationwide mandated vaccine. But people, at the end of the day, a vast majority of Americans, Republican, yeah, Democrats, independents, all said, okay, we can argue about policy, we can argue about everything else, we're not going to argue about public health. We'll just get it done. It didn't create the kind of divisiveness that we have today. And I think part of the problem is social media, yeah, and all of the conspiracy theories that have been amplified and magnified. Back in the 50s, you know, we all kind of read the same newspapers. Yeah. We watched the same nightly news. There was sort of some agreement on what is reality, what are facts. Mm-hmm. And we deferred to the experts. But here we are, you know, 70 years later, almost 70 years later, and we can't even agree on what is reality.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I don't have the answer, but it made me think, and I hope we can get up to 85-90% voluntarily, that enough people finally say, all right, I've seen enough, I'm changing my mind. You're allowed to change your mind. I have more respect for people that change their mind based on new facts. So, anyway, consider getting a vaccine. I don't think there's any chance that it's going to be mandated at a federal level. But and maybe it's just because the markets, the stock market, has been a roller coaster ride that a lot of people are saying, well, you know, we need to do more. And I don't disagree with that. But calling in the military to administer mandatory vaccines? No, that would not go over well. You think we're divided now? All right, when we come back, some of your favorite inappropriate holiday tunes. That's next.
Sir, I want to buy these shoes for my mama, please.
Oh, make it stop.
It's Christmas Eve.
Crank that.
Shoes are just her size.
This is heartfelt. It's beautiful.
This is from a texter.
Could you hurry, sir?
I agree. Yeah. Worst Christmas song ever. No
well,
question.
It's sad.
You see,
I'm getting weepy. Yeah, not one of my favorites, but I can tolerate that one. Do we have any more we can play?
Well, Yeah, we do. This song came in from a texter, but our own JP over in the traffic department, he sent in this song, which is kind of a response to Mariah Carey's famous Christmas song.
Oh. Is that Mariah?
I think they're just playing them on top of each other. So it's Mariah Carey in the background, and then they just scream over the top of it.
Wait, Mariah Carey has a tune out?
Yeah. You ever
Tell
heard
me
her?
More. I like that one, though. All right. Keep them coming. Text us 651-461-9226. An Omicron variant update next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.